He then talks about the temptation of Christ, right? And he says that when Christ set his mind toward obeying the Father's will and the mission of, you know, rescuing impoverished sinners, this was no walk in the park.
Walk out in the desert. Yeah. And I think here, it's really good that Christensen deals with this right here, because I think this kind of summarizes a lot of what he was talking about. And I think I would have put it earlier, but I think it's really well laid out here. So I would say I would be wrong if I laid it out earlier, but here he's bringing in to summarize his point of, well, okay, he's God. He can just do miracles. So why doesn't he always do this? Yeah. Well, here's one of the reasons.
Yeah, exactly. So he gives us, there's two things here he wants us to know with regard to the temptations. First, his obedience was achieved as a man, not by automatic recourse to his divine nature, right? He didn't say, oh, you know, destroy Satan, get out of my face. Right. I'm going to, you know, you crushed you right here and, you know, send my angels to, you know, no. His obedience was achieved as a man. Second, Christensen tells us that in order to succeed as the second Adam, Jesus needed to be tested with temptation, right? Just like the first Adam was tested. So he needed to be placed in the same condition as our first representative. And so, you know, the first Adam was tested. He failed. The second Adam then had to be tested. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he didn't fail.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's some good sermon preaching right here on, you know, Adam was told to go out into the wilderness and conquer it and expand the garden. Here, Christ is the one that goes out into the wilderness to expand the garden.
Yeah.
It's just really, really interesting to see that here. So the force of his temptations was no less than that which we experience. In fact, it was greater. Especially if you see what he put himself through. I mean, 40 days of fasting is pretty impressive, especially out in the desert alone. You know, I might get tired of just being by myself after, you know, a day, let alone 40 days, but especially with no books. So he didn't even have a book back then. Terrible.
Yeah.
In fact, it was greater. So Wellam writes, Jesus' sinless nature ensured that his temptations far surpassed anything we will encounter in our sinful natures. Mechleded argues that Jesus was an unparalleled protracted battle with temptation that we do not, because we easily give in to the slightest provocation of the tempter. We insanely struggle over things that, why am I doing this? I'm facing this thing again. I know that whenever I get into this predicament, you know, I work myself up and I am yelling sinfully at the people on TV who are made in the image of God, and my language might not be the best, or my speaking against what they're doing turns into hatred, so that Christ calls that essentially murder. But yet Christ experiences this even more, an even more kind of weakened bodily state, and he succeeds perfectly. By contrast, the devil tirelessly worked Jesus over with every last bit of energy he could muster, trying to oppress the Son of God to fall away from the obedience to the Father done on our behalf as the last Adam and our faithful mediator, which kind of shows you what exactly would have temptation looked like if Eve would have said no or Adam would have said no.
Yeah.
You know, how many more times are you going to ask? And, you know, if the first one was easy enough, but that was in God's providence. So we're
here. This is a really interesting point, right? Christ, obviously, since he didn't yield, the burden of temptation was way more heavier on him, right? Because as it is described here, the devil just kept piling it on, right? Since he wasn't yielding, he kept piling it on. And so the burden was far heavier on Christ mm-hmm. than it is on us because we yield, right?
Well, and, you know, isn't the devil a little bit right where he says you could turn these rocks into bread?
Yeah.
The fact that his reliance on his humanity, even here, even though he could very much do that, just that thing, for us would have been an easy temptation. Yeah. Oh, well, that's just part of my nature.
That's right.
I veiled it. I can unveil it. And it's
I've already fasted anyway, right. So I've given God what he needs. Now it's my turn, right?
But here you have Adam and Eve in perfect creation in the garden, protected, no need for to want for anything. You could literally go to the next tree and eat all of it.
Yeah.
Eat it. I don't know if they I don't know if they ever got full, but you could have gone to any other place, yeah. But you stuck by this one part, and you know, Jesus could have, he knew what was coming for him. And again, this reliance on his humanity that we see in the garden where he's crying so much that, you know, blood is coming out. It's like he's crying blood. He knows what's going to happen, and the devil offers him, you know, the all the kingdoms. Take the easy route. This is you know what's going to come. You know what the wrath of the Father means on you. Mm. And he goes, yes, and I'm still going to reject you. Jewish people did after the Exodus from Egypt, he's fully renouncing and saying, mm-hmm. yeah, this might be the easy way, but I'm fully rejecting this. So the result of a battle much greater than ours could ever be is seen here.
Right, exactly. Yeah. He fought that huge battle.